This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
In your mind, it's 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, brought to you in part by the University of Mary. You are a nurse. You became a nurse because you have a heart for others. You want to grow your skills and excel in your profession. At the University of Mary, we have a long tradition of excellence in nursing education. We understand your desire to reach your full potential, to take on leadership roles in your profession, and to increase your lifetime earnings. The key to rising in your profession is earning an advanced degree. National nursing organizations have called for a dramatic increase in the number of nurses with advanced degrees by the year 2020. At the University of Mary, we want to make it possible for you to move forward. We now offer a Master's of Science in Nursing degree, $15,000. It can be $8,000 plus higher elsewhere. Earning your master's degree in nursing at the University of Mary is a smart choice because caring for others is what you do. Caring for you is what we do. Classes begin every 5 weeks, part-time or full-time available. The University of Mary, an excellent education at an excellent value. umary.edu/msn to apply. 7 after the hour, Scott heading off today, not becoming a nurse, but he's sort of dealing in a medical thing, dental thing anyway. And he's, why do they call it dentists? They don't put dents in you. Eugene Greiner's here from Heartland Investor Services.
Thought-provoking.
I've never understood why that's the word we came up with.
But we could go on many words. Why are those words?
Exactly. That's true.
We could even try to define the word is, you know, for those that remember
why
that.
Why is a proctologist not referred to as an astronaut? But that's
ooh, that's good. That's rich.
I know. That's a deep one. You deal with that the rest of the day now.
Well, good afternoon. I am Gene Greiner. And good. Good morning. That's because that's the only time I'm in here.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, if you're listening on the replay in the evening or on 1460 KLTC, it is afternoon. But if you're listening in the morning as we do this live, it's morning. But the
habits.
Well, I know.
Habits.
I know.
So, good morning.
Okay, we'll say that again. Good day.
Why didn't I go with that? That works day.
That's what you usually say anyway.
Good day.
Usually say, good day from Heartland Investor Services. That's what you usually say.
I say, have a profitable day.
Well, you say that at the end, but at the beginning you say good day.
Well, something like that. Anyway. Well, let's make it a good day.
Do you not listen to what you say? Because we do.
Absolutely not.
We're on the edge of our seat. You don't even pay attention to what you're saying? He's playing video games as he's doing those reports every day, just talking off the top of his head.
I play video poker.
You do?
I've got over $2 million. And I just started with free money.
Like
I don't
real money, money?
No, it's free money. That's why it's $2.2 million.
That's what I say. If you do, I'm going to hit you up.
I took $1,500, and it's worth $2.2 million right now.
Because if I had $2.2 million, I'd give you a couple $100.
I'd never do that with real money. Trust me on that. I make calls and make bets I never would have done like that with real money, but nonetheless.
It's really easy to do when it's fake money, right?
People play solitaire. They play all these games, the Candyland, whatever.
Do people still play Farmville? Is that still a thing?
My son does.
Really?
Yeah, he farms.
Never understood that.
He's a computer tech, and he farms.
Oh, for God's sake. Why? Can somebody explain to me what the allure is of Farmville in the first place?
And then you got to fast forward to crops so you can harvest them or something like that.
Do they have, like, herbicides, too?
I think they do, yeah.
And if you run your antivirus, does it kill them?
Yeah,
it
burns the crop up or something like that,
sure.
Maybe.
Gary Amendeth is going, why am I here?
It's like wondering. Gary, welcome to What's On Your Mind. Thanks for coming in today.
Aaron, on. And why didn't you come in?
I should have, but I'm actually not in state today. I'm in Colorado.
Oh, well. So, okay.
Oh, sure. He's mad at Measure 3.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Measure 2 passed, but he's mad at Measure 3 failed.
I just heard the echo of every Measure 3 proponent echoing in my head. Hey, Gary, on your way back.
My middle three friends, I'm down here honoring them in Colorado right now.
Oh, certainly. So, isn't it timely that we pass a measure in the state of North Dakota that would help alleviate some of the many problems that Florida is experiencing right now? So why don't you inject this measure in with what's happening?
We're not talking about Measure 3, by the way.
Yeah, we're Measure 2.
That, we'll that might one. Also, but that's a different story.
That someday will be in Florida, too, I'm sure.
Well, I think what's interesting is our Measure 2 initiative that was restricting only U.S. citizens voting in all North Dakota elections. I took a little heat from it from people because they say, hey, it's still in North Dakota. You have to be a U.S. citizen and a North Dakota resident. And that's true in our state law, but our Constitution did not measure up. And the reason we went down this road is just what's happening in Florida right now. When you have this recount, and it's not a lot of votes, it's a minimal amount, but here's the point that happened, is they're in the Scott race, what's actually a governor's race and a U.S. Senate race. They challenged a non-U.S. citizen voted, and it could be multiple, that voted in the election. And they wanted to, the Republican candidate for Rick Scott's attorney said, we need to throw that out, obviously, got to be a U.S. citizen to vote. And the Democrat's attorney said, time out, no, we want to challenge your wanting to throw that out. Now, it's really only one or a few votes, but what happens is it really comes down to setting a precedent and setting a court challenge for whether a vote like that should be counted or not counted. And so what we did in North Dakota, so these kind of things can't happen, we changed our Constitution to make it very clear that only a U.S. citizen can vote. And so some states do the legislative process. When the legislature meets in January, somebody could put a bill in. They could pass a law and say, hey, we would like to allow in Fargo, for instance, someone to be a non-U.S. citizen to vote in a school board election or a city election because they're here with a green card and they have intention to be a U.S. citizen. We should allow these people to vote. So that could become a law in North Dakota, and the way our Constitution was written, it allowed that to occur. So by changing our Constitution, which we did by a 66% vote in just November 6th, we make it so that a non-U.S. citizen can not only not vote in a federal race, but in all legislative, local, city, county, school board, township, et cetera, races. So North Dakota is protected from that happening ever.
Yeah, I had heard several stories, especially up in Williston, many people from Great Britain, from around the world, working here for 2 years to go through an election, they would go vote because they had the green card, as you say, and they had residency here for, had been here for over a year, and they went and voted, basically expressing their foreign allegiance to another country, the will of what, how they think over there. They wanted to apply that to our elections here, and that it was coming up more often than not, I was hearing stories of.
Well, and part of what's interesting, Gene, is related to the fact that we had this measure on, a number of the auditors started out with, are you a U.S. citizen and a North Dakota resident? Not all counties do that at the ballot box. So some of them want to kind of, by not asking, no harm, no foul, by not asking, if someone kind of came forward and voted, they just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, I got an ID, here's my address, so they let them vote. Well, we know what happened in Minot 2 years ago where a guy from Canada voted in a Minot local election and it wasn't challenged. And so, because of the effort of this measure, many of the counties started with the clerks, et cetera, that say, are you a U.S. citizen and a North Dakota resident? And if they didn't ask, and that's what we're finding in parts of the country, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, they're beginning to open it up. And that's just a left move to begin to marginalize what the value of U.S. citizenship is about. And that's why we have such a battle going on in this country. And the left is pushing that, as we know what they want to do with immigration. And while our measure was not about immigration, it was about citizens' rights for voting. We find that the left wants to be more lenient on that. Let's have open borders, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason I took this on is I really feel it's very important, and it's from a U.S. citizen and a North Dakota resident, we need to protect that. And that was why we did that for the North Dakota Constitution. I'm thankful it passed with 66% of the vote. But all you do is watch what's going on in Florida, and you say to yourself, this is a problem, and we need to fix a number of these things. And that's what this measure was attempting to do.
Now, what are we going to anticipate to see in the next election, in election 2020? What is going to be different when you arrive at the polling place that you're designated to vote at? What is now the new protocol?
In North Dakota, nothing changes. It's really a function of if you had an issue and a city wanted to change the law in their city or the rules so that they would be able to vote as a non-U.S. citizen in election, our Constitution prohibits it. So we didn't do anything with the measure to change why and who and all that process. If you look at the reservation, what came on, a big battle that went on over having a ID with a physical address as opposed to using a P.O. box. We didn't deal with any of that logistics. Ours was just to define the constitutional measure to make it very clear that only U.S. citizens can vote. And there is a push, Dean, to your point, in 2020. We believe that there's going to be a national push across the country to open up voting because historically, you know, even at the turn of the early 1900s, a lot of states still allowed non-U.S. citizens to vote. So in America's history, as America was populating, you know, and people moved west, et cetera, they didn't have enough citizens to even have an impact in elections. So there was a point in our history where non-U.S. citizens could vote. And some countries around the world are fairly open. They have different provisions for it. But since the early 1900s, America has taken a position that you have to be a U.S. citizen. And then in about 1996, federal mandate was passed.
Gary, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah. Hold that thought. We're going to continue that on the other side of this segment break.
Gary Evanoff, Eugene Greiner. I'm Todd Mitchell. What's in your mind? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Feel free to join in.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Levi Taylor of Ypsilanti. This harvest season, North Dakota soybean farmers will be storing their soybeans, which can bring challenges. NDSU Extension Agriculture Engineer Dr. Ken Hellevang recommends soybeans be harvested at 11 to 13% moisture to limit cracks in the seed coat and cooled with aeration to maintain their quality. Dr. Hellevang recommends avoiding temporary or emergency storage and consider selling other grains to free up on-farm storage for soybeans. All storage options need to prevent moisture intrusion and permit cooling the grain with aeration. To store in bags, soybeans also need to be between 11 to 13% moisture. Select an elevated location and run bags north-south to achieve uniform temperature. Grain piles must have cover and aeration. A 1-inch rain will result in huge losses. For more information, visit ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. How do we know? We talk to North Dakota farmers, like Michael Howell from Castleton. How much North Dakota corn goes to ethanol?
Well, the guys that are growing corn in our area, it can get as much as 50, 60%. Again, they like having that extra market. Castleton's a growing community. Tharaldson Ethanol Plant's one of the largest taxpayers in Cass County. And then you've got the city tax, too, there for Castleton. It's helped build brand new schools, increased home development throughout the town.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and they benefit small-town North Dakota.
It's just a really good economic multiplier for these rural communities, and not just Castleton. Of the four other ethanol plants, they're all located in small towns. Those towns and communities are feeling the increased tax revenue from having those industries.
Keep listening for more conversations with North Dakota farmers about ethanol and agriculture. They're one. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
What's in your mind? It's 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Eugene Greiner is in for Scott Hennin today on What's in Your Mind.
And we're continuing with Gary Emmeth on the importance of Measure 2 and what's going on in Florida right now and how it equates to if they had this measure, they wouldn't be dealing with probably 30% of the troubles they have right now. And Gary, I cut you off from a thought you were just getting a roll into. You want to take that again, pick it up, and run with it for us?
You bet. Well, bottom line is this measure does not change any processes in 2020, but we do know there's going to be a push in 2020 around immigration. We know the left has gotten very aggressive attacking Donald Trump, and they've wanted to open it up and to try to sway a lot of voters across the country that are non-citizens to get out. And whether they vote legally or illegally, they want to reach out and they get into this identity politics. And that's really what so much of it comes down to about non-citizens voting. And so, you know, America has a long history before the early 1900s allowing non-U.S. citizens to vote, but you had to have intentions and maybe own land, et cetera. It was varied by state by state. What we want to do in North Dakota was make sure that if there's a push by the left ever, we should do it when we could have a bipartisan support where everybody should say, of course, only U.S. citizens can vote. And my hat went off to Heidi Heitkamp. She said she supported our measure, even though we took a lot of attacks from the left and they wanted to call it voter suppression. Nothing changes. It just, what this measure does, it just makes it very clear that as North Dakotans, we stand behind the fact that you got to be a U.S. citizen to vote. And some people say it wasn't necessary, but I will tell you, Rush Limbaugh, I happened to hear Rush yesterday. He went off on this, and Rush was making the point about non-U.S. citizens voting and what's happening in some of our southern states. That issue is going to become an issue in the 2020 election. Whether people like it or not, it's a battle that's coming, and we as citizens and in North Dakota, one thing about it, we've settled that for now. And but nationally in 2020, mark my words, you will see it happening around the country where they're going to try to open that up.
Now, you're talking about state by state, not federal.
That's correct, because on a federal race, federal law does say since 1996 that on a federal race, you have to be a U.S. citizen and a resident of that state and of 8 years old. But the difference is states can change in their constitution how and what they can do on local elections. And the courts have left that open to the states at this point, and I appreciate that. But that's why we took it on in North Dakota to support that measure.
I see. Well, we still have a few minutes left. I was going to ask you a question, I guess, in the state of North Dakota. The two most followed races as far as district-wise was Al Carlson's in Fargo, and, of course, yours was marked as a very prominent race here in Bismarck in District 35 against Ms. Ovan. And, of course, it looked early in the numbers as they were coming in that you were carrying an edge, but that just whittled away all night. Tell us what your thoughts were on that election and where you think she gained the edge and the advantage to retain the seat.
Well, you know, Erin Ovan is a very likable person. I debated her once. She worked hard. She's a hard campaigner. The big thing is she raised a lot of money. She raised a lot of out-of-state money. She had a $10,000 check from a guy from Boston, a liberal entrepreneur that I wanted to challenge, make an issue. And I thought, you know what? It's public. People know about it. But she raised a lot of out-of-state money. She raises a lot of money statewide. She's kind of a statewide candidate where a lot of the Democrats, there's not many Democrats left that can run statewide. And it was one that they felt they had to win. We don't know how much total money was put in her race from out-of-state along with from the state party or from the Heitkamp campaign. But Erin raised, I'm sure, excess of $100,000, and she had a $60,000 TV buy. We didn't do any TV. You know, she got pretty aggressive and attacked me, you know, on my entrepreneuring. We've had a couple challenges in my career. Financially, we had a work to do, and she got really personal about it. I chose not to do that against her. Maybe I should have been a little nastier with her, but I said, I'm going to run an upbeat, positive campaign. And she's a good campaigner. She worked hard. Democrats need to have a rallying cry, and she's going to be one of them because I think she fashioned herself to be the future Heidi Heitkamp. And Republicans are going to be facing her on a statewide basis in the future. You can count on that.
Yeah, you can see outside of her, really, who could they ever run for a state or a federal office right now? Really, what name jumps up?
Yep.
But nonetheless,
yep. She's got a lot of union support, teachers, state employees. Her husband's the executive director. You know. Now that Measure 1's passed, I think she almost have to wonder if she's going to have to recuse herself on some of the votes that will happen to the legislature because of bias. Her husband's the executive director of the state employees union, the teachers union. You know, there's some things that I think are going to be challenging for her with Measure 1 passing on ethics. So it'll be something for Republicans to watch in the future when they decide to battle her 4 years from now.
Yes, there's no question about that. What about your thoughts on Measure 3, since you're in Colorado?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Measure 3 might have passed if they would have tried to be so liberal in relation to what the law was that literally allowed the guy across the street to raise it, sell it. You know, I ran into a lot of older people that were always opposed to legalization of marijuana, but they thought, oh, well, maybe we should support it. A lot of states are doing it. But once a lot of the people that were saying we should support it for revenue numbers and we're headed that way as a society, a lot of people, what they understood that it was going to be the most liberal law in the country, a lot of those people shifted to say they had a vote against it. And I think the measure was too aggressive in the liberty of what they were going to allow it to do. And being a liberty guy, libertarian, I tend to look for, you know, keep the state and feds out as much as we can. But I think this went way too far because I've seen the effects in Colorado and in Oregon. I got family in both places. I can't say by opening up marijuana to allowing everybody to have it whenever they want. I mean, you walked out a park in Colorado Springs any given summer night. They're not sitting out there drinking beer. They're out there smoking a joint. You know, now they're maybe not causing any harm, but it's attracted a lot of people down here in this state, in these states that not always are great for building the citizens you want. And it attracts out-of-staters to move in and take advantage of it. I think North Dakota, that could have happened, and I think that's why it got beat. But I can tell you it's coming long-term in the next 10 years. I think they'll be having marijuana will be wide open federally all across the country. That's where I think it's headed. Yeah. Our society's moving that way. I'm not a big fan of it, but it's coming. That's my take.
We were noting that an election when you went and stood in line, it seemed like well over a third, if not a half of the voters were young individuals under the age of 30. And so when we started setting up on Tuesday night here on the 6th, we thought, whoa, this Measure 3 may pass easily because of the young vote that came in. Well, if that is a true statement of the young vote, I would venture to guess I'd like to see the demographics, the age, at what was the cutoff, at age what did they prominently vote against it? Because I'm guessing the young vote and such a turnout of that young vote likely voted for Measure 3, not necessarily, but I think there's a propensity to think that. And so the fact that it went down as large as it went, what, 6 out of 10 people said no? It was a big defeat on that. Because I think you're right about the way it was written is what took that apart, it seems.
Yeah. It would be interesting to find out if a person could have done some analysis of how many people that supported the measure didn't vote for other races. You know, in other words, went to vote just on Measure 3 and said, I don't really know any of the other people, Republican or Democrat, where that vote landed. It'd be interesting to be able to do that analysis, and I don't think there's any demographical information like that. I mean, obviously, they could analyze the ballots and do that, but I don't think there's any provision to do that in the law. So it's hard. We can all speculate, but, you know, it's hard to say where that thing broke down.
Well, Gary, thank you for joining us during this segment and bringing us up to date on Measure 2, which did pass here in North Dakota. Thanks again, Gary Emmett.
Thanks, Gene. Thanks, Bob.
More What's Your Mind on the way at 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Eugene Grainer and Bruce Scott Hennett.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Hey, I'm Matt, the pizza guy for Pizza Corner Pizza. Second and Main in Valley City, North Dakota is a destination. That's where in 1977 the magic of Pizza Corner Pizza was created. A family recipe that included a pizzeria-style crust, tangy tomato sauce, and best of all, generous amounts of the finest quality toppings. Soon, Pizza Corner Pizza was dubbed the finest anywhere. Today, that tradition continues, and with the fresh, updated look of Pizza Corner Pizza, we're confident the legacy will live on. Purchase one from your local grocery store today. Fresh new look, same great taste. That's Pizza Corner Pizza.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming land auctions include excellent crop, pasture, and hunting land auctions in Grand Forks, Mercer, Pembina, and a 3,400-acre absolute auction in Sioux County, North Dakota, and an 845-acre farm in Norman County, Minnesota, and a 1,700-acre grain farm in Daniels and Valley Counties in Montana. And don't forget, 2 farm equipment retirement auctions in Steele and Bowman, North Dakota. Call Piper's 877-700-4099 or view all auctions at pipers.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Dozens of cities and towns have been waiting for the word, and now Amazon has confirmed it's going to split its new headquarters between Arlington, Virginia and New York City. The online retail giant just making the official announcement, saying it will invest $5 billion and 50,000 new jobs between those two new headquarters. The facility in Arlington will be in the National Landing Section, the New York City headquarters, to be located in the Long Island City neighborhood of Queens. means.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them.
A week after that dust-up between President Trump and CNN's Jim Acosta, CNN is now suing the president and other White House officials demanding that Acosta's media credentials be restored immediately. They were suspended after that news conference. The network claims Acosta's First Amendment rights have been violated. This is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Back in 1908,
we don't remember, but the record reflects H.A. Thompson Sons started providing the high, and still does provide, high-quality plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and mechanical contracting services, not only in Bismarck, but across the region, North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, residential services, commercial services. They're a Link service contractor, allows them to provide cost-effective environmental maintenance agreements to building and business owners throughout the region, currently maintaining the mechanical, heating, and cooling systems of more than 600 buildings throughout the Northern Plains. Commercial operations, Bismarck, Mandan, Fargo, Grand Forks, Newtown, and Minot. Financing is available. There are free estimates. You can find out more at hatandsons.com, hatandsons.com. Or the good old-fashioned voice phone is still hooked up at 701-223-3393, 701-223-3393, H.A. Thompson & Sons, 27 before the hour. I'm Todd Mitchell, and filling in for Scott Hinnon today from Heartland Investor Services, Eugene Greener.
And thank you, Todd. And now, for the next half hour, the guest will be me.
You're going to be like Rush Limbaugh, because some of the best questions asked of me are asked by me.
By me, yes. And so a lot of people are requesting if I do one of these, you know, just go off on the markets for a while and talk. And so, okay, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to spend a little bit of time on history just so we know and can get a good look at where we're going in the future. Because remember, the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield, and it's cleaner than the windshield. So it's kind of easy to look back, but you need to know where you come from to where you're going. And then we have an organization called the NFA who monitors us and says past results are not indicative of future results. So you work in that kind of an industry, but anyway, let's go on. Oops, we got a caller. We want to grab that caller quick before I start, because once I start, there's no stopping. So let's bring him in.
Well,
he's still typing
we
him
don't,
up.
We don't have a name. It may just be that he's getting information.
Okay.
I know, because once you start, it's tough.
Yeah,
to
you're done.
You never take a break. You never take a breath.
I do take a breath. I get him in there.
All right. Well, we do have Tim on the road. So, Tim, what is on your mind?
Well, good morning, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question I don't think a lot of people are aware of with our new constitutional carry law. There's a lot of the old law that's overlapping with this new law. Is that going to get cleaned up by the legislature?
We had Rick Becker in here the night of the 2nd. I wish you would have called then. Yeah, he's the one that fronted that bill. I guess maybe that's something that could be brought up here later on. We could probably have Rick Becker in on the What's on Your Mind show, and he can clarify that more in detail, clean up what you're referencing.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray areas there that that leave a lot of things to be clarified, you know. So
okay,
Good point. We'll get that on the agenda. That's a good point.
Thanks, Tim.
And plus there's a new House majority leader, then, you know, probably tap that person.
We should
brain.
Know that by today. I think likely Mike Davey.
That's why I brought that up. Mike Davey seemed to be the front runner. So.
Dan Ruby was going to be one coming in for it, but I think Mike Davey is going to carry it. I'm not sure when the vote is today, but at some point in time we're going to know who the new leader is and for the House. So I think he's typing in somebody there. One more caller, and then we'll move on here. Has he got this guy pegged?
Still working.
People don't realize this happens in Minneapolis.
Okay, he's gone. It's yours. Go.
All right. Well, the grain market. I don't think most farmers realize that 2018 was going to be a troubled market with or without the Chinese trade tariff thing that we rolled into. And that collateral damage there mostly landed into North Dakota, specifically with the Pacific Northwest being the prominent way where we would send our beans out of North Dakota. Literally, when a bean left, was dumped in a North Dakota elevator, and if it was destined for a train within 3 weeks, it would see the sun rising in China as it's being offloaded. That's how important the Chinese market was as far as North Dakota beans leaving and going that way, because we have clients right now in Nebraska and southern Iowa. Their basis is the same as it was last year at this time. You know, we are affected by that. But now let's talk about the flat price, and that is the price of beans. And many farmers are very aware of this. For people, I've been on the radio talking about this, how last year in 2017, soybeans went from $10.45 to $9.07 before they firmed up in the fall because of a drought in Argentina. You know, where was Heidi Heitkamp showing the pile of soybeans laying in 2017 in Castleton and again in 2016. And, by the way, that photo was just made in the New York Times, how terrible it is out here. Those beans lay there. They were forward-sold beans that get delivered and get loaded and sent off. That's that situation. The beans in 2018 are being squirreled away in any little nook and cranny that can be put at the moment. But what was dealt with this year is several things. Okay, we grew a 7% soybean crop bigger than last year. We were destined to see an 8 in front of soybeans this year. The U.S. dollar, you know, took out last year's highs, moved higher as we're speaking, has just made new highs for 2018. And then add insult to injury, not only is the dollar index, which is a basket which plays out, you know, around the world, our competitors, our main competitors of soybean sales out of Brazil and Argentina, Argentina's currency from the first of the year lost 50% of its value. The peso, since the first of the year, lost 25% of its value into September when the soybeans made their price lows, you know, that flash in the pan down to $8.10. That any year would have been a weight on our price that would have drug us even lower. And believe it or not, it was just in 2015 and 2016 soybeans were trading at $8.40. We got down to $8.40 in general with a couple quick bouts down to $8.10, but it came back to $8.40. And here we are today, actual price trading in the $8.85 range as we speak, where we would have been all of this at the Board of Trade in 2018 with or without that Chinese trade war because of the pricing association we see. They always shove the price down to, you know, the cost of production, and that's where she levels off, under cost of production. So the basis became the collateral damage, and as that gets fixed, that will come back. Now, let's move forward. What is probably happening since we've seen, you know, massive yields priced in the marketplace, minimal demand being expected? That is supply-demand coming together to create price. So we know where we've been. Where are we going? Well, if we want to know where we're going, we got to have an understanding of what is taking place on the Chinese trade talks, which will switch the competition around for what we're getting and bring us back the Pacific Northwest Avenue to move beans out. I was fortunate to be one of 10 people, and some of the people in the room, I didn't even know why they were there, but Secretary Wilbur Ross, who is the Commerce Secretary under President Trump, and he's the man in charge as of the negotiations with China, and I believe he will probably exiting soon. He's well into his 80s, and most people don't know that Wilbur Ross is the perfect man to have in place dealing with Canada, Mexico, China. He's made a lifetime and made quite a fortune turning companies around. That's what he did. The company he'd worked for, send him in, and he would take a company that was a wreck, turn it around, profitable when he leaves. You probably don't know this, and wouldn't expect you to. When President Trump was going through his hard times, and he was upside down, he told his wife, Ivanka, as they were walking home from a dinner one night, there was a poor guy, you know, panhandling, you know, asking for money, and Trump gave him money, and as they walked away, he told Ivanka, that man's worth more than I am right now, because at the time, he was upside down. He owed more than he was worth. And so he put together a plan to keep his Trump Tower, all his casino, everything that he had built, put it together, a plan, And Wilbur Ross, back in the 80s, signed off on it. He said, I think this guy has a plan that will work. It's a workable plan, and let's go with it. And so Wilbur Ross, obviously, and he was a Democrat, by the way, and years later, he was tapped by President Trump to become the head of the Commerce Secretary. So now, in August 15th, I was privy to a private lunching with him, and I had a notepad out, and I was writing down everything he was saying. And I'll go through them real quickly, and I've checked off everything he said, and now I'm waiting on the last item check off. First item was, it's August 15th. Oh, we believe we're very close to a deal with Mexico. We're sure that we will have the Mexico signed before the end of the month. That happened. Before August was out, Mexico said, we're going to a deal with the U.S., a different one. Canada was a holdout. He said, Canada's going to be a little tougher. He said they're really making a big deal out of the dairy thing and a couple other issues, but they were all ag-oriented in general. And he said they will come online. He says they'll come along and they'll be grudgingly by end of September. They'll come on because we will go on without them on October 1st for the reasons of when it was started. There was a timing thing, and we would just drop Canada out, you know, end NAFTA and move on with Mexico and create a new trade deal with just Mexico. 10 p.m. Sunday, September 30th, Canada agrees to go into renegotiations on the new terms that were set by the Trump administration, you know, fixing the archaic NAFTA, which came before even Al Gore had a chance to invent the good internet. You know, there were so many things that technologically weren't even included in NAFTA. And so that happened. That was checked off. He also said, we believe we'll have Japan coming online. They want to talk. India wants to talk. Those were all occurring. Check them off. So the one last thing I've yet to check off yet was what he said about China. He said, on September 6th, we're going to lay $200 billion in tariffs on, and we've already had up to $25 billion in tariffs. And he said the original $16 billion in tariffs that were put in place on January 6th, it's August 15th, he said is raising chaos in China. Bonds were underwater. Factories that were affected by those were already had excess capacity. He said they were, you know, delaying force, laying people off. And he said, and now we're going to be going to $200 billion. Now, what did change from August 15th to September 6th is they were going to put $256 billion with the tariffs, or was it 200 straight, at 25%. Well, we were nice guys. We said 10%. But if we don't have something put together by January 1st, it's going to 25%. He said, by the time we get to that September 1, that is going to really start to create havoc in China. It is, because if you check the Shanghai composite right now, anybody can do that on the internet. They're down 30% on the year. Yeah, we've taken some bumps and bruises, over 5% on the stock market off the highs of the year, but that's mostly tied to the rising interest rate effect in the Federal Reserve, with the likelihood that interest rates will continue to rise. And so it's a rude reawakening during a normal time of the year when the stock market does tumble. It does usually into the third quarter. It has tough times with the earnings that come out, and then typically it picks back up again after the fourth quarter. And so with that, we come back to China. And he said, China will likely, this is August 15th, will not have a deal with the U.S. until after the elections, because they believe they do hold power over President Trump with these elections. But once we get past November 6th, he said, whether we have a House or Senate, whatever it is, they realize they've lost any control over President Trump politically, and that the next 2 years are wide open. And he said, we will start seeing a thawing of from no conversations to now conversations starting after elections. Well, that's exactly what's happening. President Trump said that he had a warm conversation the day after elections with President Xi, looking forward to dinner with them on November 30th when they meet in Argentina on the economic summit that's going to be taking place. And things started to firm back up again. There was conversations that were taking place. Even this morning, we've seen a sale of 276,000 tons of beans to an unknown destination. That's a lot of beans. And so when we come back after this segment, I'm going to talk about the timelines of what might be happening and what could be standing in front of American agriculture probably into December.
I was not kidding about Eugene Greiner's ability to do it all in one breath. He's going to take a deep breath and go more next. Stay tuned.
A program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming land auctions include excellent crop, pasture, and hunting land auctions in Grand Forks, Mercer, Pembina, and a 3,400-acre absolute auction in Sioux County, North Dakota, and an 845-acre farm in Norman County, Minnesota, and a 1,700-acre grain farm in Daniels and Valley Counties in Montana. And don't forget, two farm equipment retirement auctions in Steele and Bowman, North Dakota. Call Piper's 877-700-4099 or view all auctions at Piper's.com.
Hi, it's Scott Hill. Let me tell you about my friend Jeff Comer from MineralTracker.com. Jeff's a petroleum engineer and a veteran of the industry. His family turned to him for assurance they were getting paid correctly on their minerals and to help them understand their future income possibilities. So Jeff and a team built Mineral Tracker to give mineral and working interest owners a professional tool at an affordable price so they can really start managing their minerals like a business. Sign up for your free trial now at MineralTracker.com. Call 833-842-2924 or email info@MineralTracker.com.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Your Northern Region New Holland dealers are proud to introduce the all-new CR Series Combines. They're designed with you and harvesting in mind. The brand-new state-of-the-art Harvest Suite Ultra Cab is more spacious and gives you even wider visibility. Up to three cameras and new lighting extend the visibility around the combine and around the clock. Every new feature is designed for your comfort and a better harvest. That's New Holland Smart. Stop in today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer and ask about the all-new CR Combines.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Mother's Milk, a miracle elixir. GodSaidManSaid.com. Hauntings, dead spirits, and ghosts. Noah's Ark, fact or fiction. GodSaidManSaid.com. Sex superbug. Kiss panic attacks goodbye. Unlock your Holy Ghost pharmacy. GodSaidManSaid.com. Y chromosome Adam and mtDNA Eve. 21 signs of doomsday and the chip. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
Spotlight Training is brought to you by North Dakota Safety Council, a private nonprofit, and Workforce Safety Insurance. They have a webinar called Claims 101. It will cover injury reporting and timeliness, what constitutes a work injury, the roles and players on a workers' comp claim, designated medical provider, claims management philosophy, that and much more on the way, sir. In fact, tomorrow morning at 9, then also on the way, a Has Whopper. I hope that means a word to you, because it doesn't to me, but refresher. That'll be going on at Bismarck November 28th, or First Responder Awareness in Bismarck November 27th. Lots more. We could go on and on and on, but you can check it out at workforcesafety.com to see WSI's calendar North Dakota Safety Council and Workforce Safety and Insurance. And before the hour, Eugene Grainer is back for Scott Hannon on What's in Your Mind.
And thank you. And we're going to continue on that conversation I was taking in the last segment. You know, where are we going now in price? Everybody can figure out where we came from, but put it together and try to figure out where we're going forward. Another piece of the puzzle that's been missing that just came out here last week, and it explains a lot why China, of course, they were using the trade barriers, why they were backing away from using corn over the last couple of years, dried distillers grain they ended last winter, sorghum, they dropped tariffs on sorghum. That's because of the recent revelations. Their corn supplies have been a lot larger than what we had been told, or and many in the trade had been warning that this was likely a scenario, and of course USDA confirmed what China put out on their census earlier in the week, that they have 6 billion bushels more of corn than was actually reported. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds as the fact that in WTO, China is not an exporter of grain. None of this corn, and they also increased the world wheat numbers by 7 metric tons times 36 million bushels. Yeah, a lot of wheat. That's another factor that was played out last week in the crop reports. But yet our U.S. price is stabilized on that because the rationale is they won't be exporting any of this. And a lot of this is probably numbers that are going to be worked out again that have been fed anyway. But what this brings to mind is that China was going to be buying less anyway this year because they've had a policy that produces, you know, grow the corn. It's easier to import beans on a protein basis. You need a lot less beans per bushel for the protein than you need for corn to bring the beans in, but have the corn domestically. And their corn supplies have grown. And so we were going to hit this head anyway. There was going to be tough prices. You know, China buying less beans, less, definitely they've been buying no corn, wheat. As far as wheat's concerned, we sell more wheat to third world countries than to China. But the problem has been these trade restrictions. Never mind the 25% tariff that China has on us right now. What about the 13% tariff they've had on U.S. beans since they entered WTO, giving a most favored status for them to buy beans out of Brazil, where they have been building that market, building the ports, you know, have been investing in the infrastructure of Brazil. The average farmer doesn't realize that in just the last 10 years, because of this, you know, inconvenient competition of this tariff that we have since China was in WTO, it favors Brazilian beans. The acreage in Brazil has been growing every year since we taught them how to grow this stuff back in the late 70s, early 80s. But in the last 10 years, their soybean growing area has grown equal to the size of the country of South Korea. And they're going to grow their crop size again this coming winter, and again the year after that, and the year after that. So that's just a known fact growing problem we're dealing with. But what we don't need is unfair practices where, for well over a decade and a half, hello, American Soybean Association, who collects the farmers' money for not bringing this to light over the last 18 years and fighting over that anyway. President Trump is working to eliminate that as well. So at least we can compete with Brazil head-to-head because we have to deal with our currency problems to begin with. When their currency is worth less, it allows them to sell their beans much more easily than we, and we would have dealt with that in 2018, along with the increased production of over 7% year-over-year. That's huge, 7% year-over-year. Just round it up to 10, and all of a sudden your brain can conceptualize, you know, 10%. That's a big deal year over year. Yeah, soybeans going from 907 to 850, basically, where they leveled off at. Yeah, that's a small amount. But once you start getting down to the cost of production, the price levels off. It stays below the cost of production until we move it. So where are we now? What is the status of what's about to happen? Well, I told you how in the last segment I've been checking everything off that Wilbur Ross has said at that August 15th behind-closed-door meeting of what's placed. And what he had in store for China was this. He said, after elections, look for talks to become more frequent, things happening. That's exactly what happened. We were cold and stole nothing from August 15th till November 6th. November 7th, we get a story. President Trump had a phone call with President Xi and looking forward to the dinner, you know, at the end of the month, and good things will be happening. It was so exciting. The next day, that night, there was talk that President Trump said start drawing up some papers, you know, to start, you know, points on talking points on trade, which was quickly denied the next day when soybeans had popped to $9 on that story and then backed off a little bit. But here we are with soybeans hovering, you know, just under $9, the January spot contract, around $8.85 today, had a high overnight of $8.90. You know, leveling off today. We got corn and lower today. Wheat is giving back half of its, over half its gains from yesterday because it was more of a technical play for those that we showed in our newsletter. You know, why wheat popped yesterday and now it's giving it back a chunk today. But ultimately, that'll be moving better as well. But as we move forward, he had said the meeting that President Trump will likely have, this is August 15th, in November, will probably open the door to better conversations and talk. Because he said, once we get to end of November, China is going to be hurting and hurting bad. I want you to stop and think about this. All this capacity that's being threatened to them. And President Trump said, if we don't get something going here by the first part of December, he is going to take the 10% on those $200 billion in tariffs and jump them to 25%. And on January 1, he's going to lay the remaining goods that are ever sold to the United States, $256 billion. So the long story short, beans are likely heading higher into the new year. We're going to have a trade deal before December's out. $9.50 to $10 beans are probably in your future, along with rising corn into the new year. Next break, grain move atop early in the year of 2019.
Look at that, seconds to spare. Scott and then back tomorrow. Unless something happened to the dentist, Kevin Cramer, Talk Radio, John Hall on the way.
Let's go to Norway with a professional. My name is Carol Juven. I have been in Norway 174 times and had over 49,000 people with me on tour during the past 50 years. Come and join me on the beautiful Best of Norway tour, August 12th through the 24th, 2019. See Norway at its best. There is a fjord in your future. Hundreds of waterfalls and the beautiful, spectacular mountains. We don't just tour Norway. We meet the people. Phone me toll free, 1-800-343-0093, and I'll send you a complete packet of information on the tours that we offer to Norway. Again, August 12th through the 24th, 2019. Call 1-800-343-0093, 1-800-343-0093. Welcome along.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
What if there was a social media network only for the conservative?
What if there was a social media network not only for the conservative right general public, but also a platform for conservative politicians and advertisers?
And what if the social media network was the only free speech network in existence?
There is. It's RightSocial.net.
RightSocial.net, a response to President Donald Trump's direct presidential order.
RightSocial.net, where you have the right to freely speak your mind.
RightSocial.net,
the right place to be.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.